Welcome to the What's Next podcast. The function of this podcast is to help current students have a better understanding of the career options available to them after they finish their studies, as well as being aware of the resources and support that they have to assist them in the journey from the start to the end and beyond their studies here at ICMP. So today, we have another episode of What's Next, and we're joined by a very special guest, and I'm going to get him to introduce himself.
All right, so my name is Chris Jarvis. I studied at ICMP back in 2018 to 2019, doing a Master's in Popular Music Performance. I currently work as a Customs Assistant Officer for HMRC, and that was for my day job, and I'm also a session musician in my spare time.
Wonderful stuff. So let's kind of dive into that. So obviously you do two roles. So what does your average day-to-day look like?
So most of my days really consist of either coming into the office or just opening the laptop at home. So either way, I'm always just answering emails, answering queries, just ordering this, doing that, speaking to different departments within the government departments or the external departments, just people that work within our team just to help just deal with custom goods that are coming into the country. So these vary. So it's stuff that people mainly order off Amazon. It's when it comes from like a Chinese trade or whatnot, that they come through us just to ensure that these products are genuine and people aren't thinking that they ordered from Wish when they get the items to their door. Yes, it's those sort of things that I do. And obviously with the music job, as most people do, most gigs occur around the evening time. So the evening time I'll probably be at home like practicing or be at rehearsals or be at a gig. Most of my gigs happen on during the weekend anyway, because those are the gigs that I would obviously make up for. But obviously there are some times where I do book time off work so I can attend like the upscale gigs and so forth. So yeah, that's pretty much my day to day.
No, thanks for sharing that. I think that also then begs another question then. So in terms of the first year after you graduated, did you go straight into doing like session musician work as you're like, okay, that's the thing I'm going to kind of go straight into? Or was it kind of like, all right, I can still do my session musician work, but I'm going to find an alternative job to, yeah, just to kind of focus on the financial side as well?
So to be honest with you, the alternative job happened whilst I was finishing my studies. So it's just a matter of the continuation. So obviously when I was studying at ICMP, I was still doing some musical gigs like on the side as well. So I just think that this in a way is preparation for me to balance the alternative job route as well as keeping up with my session musical sessions. And it's just a way for me to be able to fund my way, like, you know, getting to rehearsals, buying equipment or buying the maintenance service for those equipment as well. And so it's something that I like to prepare like before things happen, if that makes sense.
No, that definitely makes sense. I think even as you said, the maintenance of the equipment, I think quite often it can be easy to forget that you need to have money to either purchase more equipment or to fix and maintain the equipment you have, I guess irrespective of what instrument you play, because if you're wanting to do music, then you know you need to be able to maintain this stuff.
Yes.
So focusing or kind of zoning in on the music aspect, I guess as you work as a session musician, quite often you can get different opportunities depending on your experience and how long you've been playing and the networks that you've built up. So how did you find saying no to an opportunity, especially when money was involved? Did you find it easy to say no, or was it kind of like something you had to kind of learn how to adjust to when to say yes and when to say no?
So when you look at these opportunities and when you know you need to say no, you have to evaluate the situation. So first of all, you look at the opportunity, you look at the gig that you're about to do, you look at what that's required from you. So in terms of how many songs you have to do, when or where the place is, how long you're going to be playing, how much they're paying you, and then if they're rehearsals and how many rehearsals there are and what is required from you. There are times where I've taken on gigs, yeah, that I have regret. I'm just saying this out of honesty. There are some gigs that I've taken out of regret. And that is because although the money looks good, the gig looks good, but it takes a lot out of you. Like, it burns you out because you've been rehearsing for like maybe 12 hours or so, and then you're coming home tired, and you have to travel for a specific amount of time, and that pretty much adds to your time. So regardless of how much they're paying you, sometimes you have to make a judgment whether you can physically or mentally be able to be prepared for it. When saying no, you got to think about yourself, because whoever asks you to do a gig for this amount of money, they're thinking about the gig, and you're just an extra in their script. That sometimes you need to be careful about. When you have to think about the people who asked you as well, because they may only want you for what you can do. Like, they only want you for your skills, your talent, your ability. But sometimes they don't really look at the well-being, because they only see you as a musician. But it's important, as well as they give you the opportunity for what you can do, you still have to remember you're a human being. And so it's very important that you got to have a full evaluation of the company that you keep, or the company that approaches you, before you say yes. And also it's important you just ask around people who have done it before, let them know their input. If they tell you, look, it's no good, don't bother, the money's good, but I was drained, I have hardly been home, I forgot to do this and that. So yes, it's just important to do your thorough investigation on the opportunity, make sure it's all legit, whether the money's good or not, make sure it's all legit, because you can say yes to a lot of things, even if you are desperate for gigs. Like, it's always important to look after yourselves, because you know, we've read many articles and many stories, like in the music industries, where artists just lost it, and it's very easy to end up like one of them if we're not too careful about what we say yes to. So that's my perspective. It's very important to have a full evaluation of the opportunity, so you know exactly when to say no, in order to protect yourself.
No, absolutely. Now, thank you for sharing that. That's really important to remember, because yeah, as you said, the money can look good.
Yes.
But at what cost does it come at you being able to kind of earn that money? Like, are you being burnt out as a result to get this income or rate or fee that you're getting? And is it worth the toll that it will take on you mentally, emotionally, physically?
Yes.
And if the answer is no, then that's your, yeah, that sounds like that's your answer. Just say no if it's not worth it.
Sometimes the simple gigs are the best gigs.
Exactly. I guess, so staying on that same topic then, so while looking at the aspects of well-being, so do you think that, and especially this is now as being, whether it's a freelance or session musician or session singer, do you think physical health is important to maintain mental well-being as a creative?
I would think so, yes, because I would say from personal experience, if something's not right with my body, it does affect me mentally. Say, for instance, if I get up in the morning and I'm feeling crummy and I'm feeling heavy, like, you know, like it's like something's just pushing you down on the bed and forcing you to get up. Or if I can't even just open my eyes or being able to speak, then that's how that's going to make me feel. If I'm a singer and I wake up, you know, sounding hoarse, and I know that I've got a big gig coming up, I know that's going to affect me mentally, because I could lose money, I could lose the opportunity to network, and a golden opportunity to be at a particular stage where you're bound to get further jobs. And with me, obviously I'm a musician, so I rely on my limbs, I rely on my hands, you know, I rely on, you know, pretty much all my bodily functions to work. And if I wake up, yeah, unable to move my arm properly because I have arms and I have some sort of spasms on my thumb or whatnot, then that's clearly going to affect my ability to play. And in that sense, that will affect me mentally, because it's the one thing that I love doing is playing music. And if my body doesn't allow me to do so, then that's going to affect me mentally. I'll be a nervous wreck. So I think also the physical health can be affected by things happening in our personal lives. Another thing that we often need to look at is, again, the company we keep. If friends are really our friends, or if something's going on in our homes, or, you know, whatever our living situation is, because certain living situations do make an impact into our musical performances, whether it's how we perform on stage, or what songs we write, or what songs we just sing. It's just, there's a lot of these factors that are put into place, and I think we all need to be careful, and we'll be mindful of what we allow in our bodies physically and spiritually and mentally, because it's all factors that could bring an effect on our physical health in the end.
So staying on that same topic, so for you personally, so how are you, how do you find you're able to switch from your work mindset, whether that's through preparing for a gig or even just a job you're doing, to just your everyday mindset? So just being able to switch off. How do you find the switch of work and then just rest?
Well, it all starts simple, really. Like, I see my keyboard, and if I'm ready just to switch off, simple is just switch the keyboard off, pack it away. What I used to have in my room, I used to have my keyboard set up like all the time. It's just there. So I can just quickly just jump on and off whenever I feel like it. But obviously, more recently, like when I have to move stuff around my room, I realise it's not always possible to keep it set up. So I have to pack it down. And believe me, it does help. Like, sometimes you just have to get rid of the distraction around you. Get rid of the distraction. I'm also a gamer, so I have a place. I have a PS5 with me. I also have a TV with Apple TV. So I switch those on because that puts me in everyday mode. Like, a couple of games of FIFA and I'm fully relaxed. I'm having fun. But I just, and also talking to friends, going out with friends, all that sort of thing. Speaking to my family members or some close friends. Whoever have partners in their life, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever, husbands, wives. Always important to spend time with your loved ones. Because in this day and age, we do know, like, life can be very short. We don't know when our time comes. So it's just important, you know, just to like take some time and enjoy life a bit. Like, we play music about enjoying life sometimes, songs about enjoying life sometimes, and we don't necessarily do it ourselves. So what is really a point of sending out a message if we're not taking it ourselves?
It's true. You know, if you were someone who you live, breathe, sleep, eat music, starting to have that discussion in what can you do to kind of just still enjoy music but have something else that actually helps you to feel replenished as well, so you can still feed back into that music that you love to do. Yeah, and I think that, thank you for sharing that. So what I was going to ask earlier was, obviously in terms of even saying no to an opportunity, how were you able to set a price for yourself when it came to offering the stuff that you do musically to other people?
There are many different avenues that I would go through in order to come up with a price. And what some people do nowadays, which I do commend for, is that they consult the music union's website and they look at the national rates for like performing musicians and whatnot. I'm charging you for the years that I've practiced, that I've studied to get to this point, not the minutes of your time or my time to have me there. I'm charging for the years that I sacrifice to perfect my craft. And with me, although I don't look it, I've actually been playing music for over 20 years now. Obviously, I used to be very lenient when it comes to when people pay me. Like, my first gig, I was only 14 years old, and I got like a £50 check, yeah, just for playing for a church. And obviously, £50 at 14 years old is like a lot of money. I felt like a millionaire. So obviously now, £50 wouldn't really cut it. Like, £50 is basically petrol money. And obviously right now, I have to look into travel expenses. I have to look into keyboard maintenance, like even just a little things like getting it clean, getting it fixed, you know, getting it serviced, that sort of thing. that has to be put into it, because when I'm using my gear, that's when the gear gets used up a bit, because I'm using it up for your gig. Another thing is the time, it's the amount of time that they want me for, and how many songs I'm doing, if I'm doing any rehearsals, that all goes in the travel expenses. And of course, I don't want to go to a gig and leave hungry as well. So if they're not feeding me or anything, I obviously need some, a few things so I can get something to eat on the way back, you know. There's a lot of things that have to be put into place. And then I'm a greedy guy, so I like to eat a lot. So something has to be in my pocket when I leave that place. And so, yes, the price comes from a lot of things. You have to look through the different aspects of what you're sacrificing, what you have to take out of yourself, whether it's finances or like physical health or being or mental health, and then putting all that into the price. If I give you a rate for say like 150 or 200, this is the type, this is for the years that I put in practicing. Like when I'm practicing at home in my little Yamaha keyboard, when no one knows who I am, no one knows how well I play, because they weren't there when you was learning how to play. They weren't there when you were practicing. They weren't there when you were struggling to even getting looked at. They weren't there when you're just sitting on the sidelines when you're watching the others getting all their gigs. But now that you're in a place where, okay, Chris, it goes back to my previous, the previous question about knowing when to say no. If they don't appreciate your value, then you're wasting your time with them. So I think it's important that when you set a rate, make sure it's appreciated by someone.
No, I think that's good. It's, you're not paying for the time that I'm playing. You're paying for the years that I've invested. I feel that's so, that's such a powerful and actually so true. It's not just what you're getting in that moment. It's all of the time it's taken to, as you rightly said, to sharpen and perfect your craft so that you can actually give your absolute best for that performance. And even still, even if it wasn't for the years, it's the time that you spent practicing for this gig, as well as your travel expenses, food, all of these other stuff. It's not just you're paying to hear music. You're paying for the business of everything else that comes attached with it. So, yeah, and even you said, like, if people can't see that value, then you can happily be like, well, then you can just respectfully just be like, no, like, you know, then that's okay too. That's okay too. A follow-up question I would have to that before I ask the last question would be, so in the cases of, let's say the rate was £150 and they were like, okay, so we can't pay £150, we can pay £100, but we'll be able to cover your travel expenses, we'll make sure that you're fed, you know, but we could only pay you like £100. But the other aspects, we can make sure to support you in that. Like, do you find that there's other areas where you're like, actually, no, I can be flexible. If you're covering this area, then sure, I can take a deficit of a little bit into the rate I might usually pay.
Yeah, I think it's good to have some flexibility. And especially if they're going to cover this, this and that. For me personally, I think it depends on the person, really. If it's obviously someone that I know or someone that I'm familiar with, then it's something that I can consider. But if it's like a complete stranger, then you may not know what you're gonna expect when they say they're gonna cover this, this and that. Say for instance, if I'm coming from a faraway place, they would have to provide a accommodation. So if it finishes late, then I'll probably have to sleep over and stay overnight, and so I can travel in the morning. But I don't know what room they're going to put me in. I don't know what hotel they're going to put me in. So I think it depends on the information you get. Like, if they're giving you little information and they're not giving you the full price, then of course, then for your own safety, I think you should still say no. But if you know the company or the people well enough, so you know what to expect when they're going to cover all these bits and bobs, then you have more reassurance that you're going to be taken care of. And so, okay, cool, I can be flexible, we can put it down to 100, and that is final, we don't go any lower than that. So yeah, I think it's important, like, just going back to what I said earlier, just do your research on the people or the promoters or whoever's approaches you, just to ensure that you're on the safe side. And of course, go by the testimonials of other performers who have worked with them. So yeah, that's what I would say, really.
Oh, no, thank you. I just see it's good just to kind of have that understanding of that, because I know people might listen and be like, okay, cool, I'm going to set my price and I'm not going to be moved. I'm standing 10 toes deep, like, I ain't going to move. But understanding that, yeah, there are means in which to be flexible, but it just depends on, I guess, your relationship with the person who is providing you or asking you for an opportunity. Looking back, is there any advice that you would give to students or alumni that you would want to tell yourself when you were studying?
All right, so one thing I would say, and I'm not saying this just to like promote ICMP for whatever, because obviously I appreciate the work that they do. I think it's important for all the students and alumni to make use of the resources that they have available, like with ICMP, like especially with the facilities they have, the people that they have, like, especially with the networking opportunities. Always important, whatever networking opportunity comes off, take it with both hands, because it's very important to get yourself in a pool of different people around you. Like, the more people know about you, the more opportunities develop. I'm speaking from experience, because I would say from the little gigs I've done, I haven't done any major gigs like Glastonbury or BBC Live Lounge. I haven't done any of that, just being real. But I have done gigs that have opened some doors. Almost a couple of months ago, I played for a conference, as a sold out conference at the Royal Albert Hall. And it's a life-changing experience, and that is all just from playing with a gospel choir. And just thinking about that now, I'm thinking, like, this is the place where I would go on school trips or college trips thing, just to watch an orchestra. And then never would I think, like, maybe a few years later, try not to give out my age too much, a few years later, instead of being at the top, on the highest balcony of the hall, I'm now on the actual stage. And just thinking about it, it's all come down to networking. So it's very important to network as much as possible. Stay on top of your studies, especially in ICMP, because this is something that we love to do. This is music. So this is something that we can't be lazy about, just to say. And just to the alumni as well, always stay in touch with others, with like current and past students. And even if you don't have a job that is music related, work hard at it. Like, be the best employee at your job, whatever you're doing, whether it's in the office, whether it's in a retail, whether it's in the supermarket, or whatever, just be the best, because what you're earning from them jobs, you can actually fund to your dream. So no job is beneath us. That is one of the biggest lessons I've learned. Like, the job that I have right now, like, it isn't something that I wanted in a long shot. But being there like directly after I finished my master's, although it's not what I want, it did fund for the things that I do want. From the start of the job, like, I'm using a very old, like, 5-year-old Mac, and I have my one keyboard that is breaking all the time. And then now I've got better equipment. I've got better equipment for my music. I've got better equipment for my everyday life. I've got a car that I can go from A to B. Like, there's so many things that you can achieve. Even if music isn't your primary job, like, no job is beneath you. Like, just be the best you can do in whatever role you work in, and I guarantee you there'll be success.
You heard it here first. That's I think that's going to be really good for people to hear and to actually reflect on as they listen back to this. So Chris, thank you so much for joining me on the What's Next podcast. It's been a really good conversation, and I'm certain that as people listen to this episode, there's going to be a lot that they're going to be able to take just from just your honesty and transparency, and even from your own experience as well. So thank you very much. And yeah, this has been the What's Next podcast. Join us next time, where we have another special guest, and we're going to be getting into life beyond ICMP and asking the question, what's next?